In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us quieten ourselves in prayer. Almighty God, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your kingdom and for that righteousness which you have prepared through your Son. You have given us a new day, and you have protected us last night. You have blessed sunny days into our life and also cloudy days. You have blessed our lives. Warm winds and cooler winds. For your guidance, we wish to thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to quieten ourselves around your holy word. Thank you for our friends and for all of those people who travel alongside us. Thank you for them who support us in our temporal lives, in our endeavor of faith. And we ask that you open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive, to hear what you want to open unto us through your Spirit. Encourage us to see those near us who need our support in their tribulations, those who are poor, those who are lonely, those who are ill. Open our hearts to help them. Give us power to stop and listen and support and help. And when we need help, temporal or spiritual or mental, give us escorts. Teach us to live a day at a time. Protect us from a high life. Affix us to that which is important in our life, that we would remain in faith unto the end of our days. Dear Father, give us strength and understanding to do the work of your kingdom with a humble, bold mind. Guide our thoughts and our words so that the message of the gospel could comfort and heal those amongst us. We ask that you bless these services for the salvation of our souls and for the glory of thy name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As an introduction to my sermon, I will read from the Sermon on the Mount, from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 6, toward the end of the chapter, beginning with verse 25. And these words are heard in Jesus' name. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Amen. What is that power that makes all this possible? All that which we can see around us at the moment. All these measurable summer service arrangements which have been done for many years so that we could gather here at these summer services. Or what is that power that causes families and believing people to use many resources year after year, time, trouble, even economic resources, so that they can get to the summer services? It is good to be here, and it is always great to come here. Many of us have traditions from childhood on of going to summer services. Here we meet relatives and friends. We have good camp conditions arranged for us here. And for many families, the summer services are perhaps the only trip made together during the year. The meat stew is good, and the arrangements are functional, and it is nice to meet other believing people. But is that all? What would it have felt like for you this morning, dear service guest, if you had awakened and you could not have awakened to this familiar hymn, you could not have awakened to prayer. And this morning would have lacked the word of God. Would your trip to the summer services lacked something essential? Something so essential that now we could say that without the sermon of the Word of God, there would be no summer services. It seems to be so that sometimes when circumstances or conditions get a little bad, when it is cold or windy, or sometimes it has even rained during the summer services, it does not scare people away. But if the sermon of the Word of God ceases to be heard at the summer services, the voice of the Good Shepherd, then there would be no summer services, and this group would fall apart sooner or later. In this picture of the summer services, it is actually a small-scale model of our life, and of that which is spoken of in our text. That which actually is most important. What matters are truly the most important, the most permanent, and matters which carry us in life, powers, strength which carries us in life. In this part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus exhorts us to look at the birds of the air. And Jesus warns us that we would not attach ourselves to the goods of this temporal life. Many times it has felt that all these temporal things that we see around us, after which many people run, is a particularly great reason for care in our time. But it has been written in the Word of God. It is the effect of our humanness, of our old portion. It is a matter which we can never escape. If a person fills his life with all the things that this world offers, then he will forget one important matter. In that moment, he forgets that everything is a gift. In the midst of success, in the midst of temporal wellness, a person may think that I have built this myself. We, in this sense, we are wretched. That when things go well in our life, we feel that I have built this myself. And then when we have tribulations, we ask, why was this allowed to happen to me? Dear brother and sister, at this moment, do you have such a feeling that I have arrived to this day with my own strength? Do you have a feeling that all the temporal goods that you have obtained, you have built it through your own understanding and you have received it through your own self? Do you have such a feeling that when I can carry the name of the child of God today, that is also due to my own understanding and strength? Together we reply. When we look at our footsteps onto this day and onto this moment, it is God which has guided our life well. He has blessed our life, our temporal life, and what we need in it. And we can be believing. Because He has protected us as children in His kingdom unto this day. And when we look at the time ahead of us, we can look at it with a trusting and comforted mind. Since we have not come to this day based on our own strength and understanding, is it not good to believe and trust that the Heavenly Father knows our every single step? And this day, or tomorrow, or our future, is not in our own hands. It is in better hands, the hands of the Heavenly Father. Look at the birds of the air under the blue sky. A bird flying under beneath the blue skies gives us a picture of our trust in the Heavenly Father. Toward the end of our text, there is an alternative, a correct alternative for not attaching our heart to satisfying our temporal needs, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Where is the kingdom of God? the kingdom of God is not in a man-made building. The kingdom of God is in your midst. The border of the kingdom of God is drawn in the hearts of men, from heart to heart. And we preach about the kingdom of God. We preach the kingdom of God, even though we know that it will never be very popular amongst the nations. It has never become and will not in our time ever become something very popular. Even in the people of this time, it appears to be poor and wretched people, sinful people, unsuccessful people. But we preach about the kingdom of God. If there would be someone hearing these words who is searching, as we are exhorted in this text to seek the kingdom of God, then we say, the kingdom of God has come nigh. Repent. We preach the gospel to unbelievers, unto repentance. We call them into the kingdom of God. We call the sinful one to exchange sin for grace. We call into that fellowship, which is a good portion already in this time. It is comforting and a good portion. We call you into this fellowship, whose goal is not in the goods of this time or in this time, but it is in eternity. And his righteousness. What is this righteousness? Paul writes in the letter to the Romans, in the 4th chapter, For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. What would be righteousness according to the mind of man? Would it be something that would be very flexible and change according to people's desires in life? This today and that tomorrow. Would righteousness according to the mind of man be such that we could add a pinch of something from ourselves? Would it be something so that today we would begin building it, and little by little we would become better as people? And then someday we could say that I have peace with God. Probably two of the most well-known stories of repentance in the Bible is the parable of the prodigal son, and the other is the repentance of Saul of Tarsus, or Paul. Without going into these stories in more detail, foremost in both of these stories is this. Repentance was an absolutely great event for them. God took a hold of them. When a prodigal son turned to go back home, he was able to have his sins forgiven without condition, unconditionally. He was not asked, "What all did you do?" He was not told, "Go and learn how to be a believer. Go somewhere and then come back." No. He was clothed, the servants clothed him in the festive garments. And when Saul of Tarsus was taken hold by God, and when Brother Ananias was given the task to go to meet him, we remember how fearful this brother was when he set out to meet Paul. He knew his background and his history. And then Ananias went, came to that house, put his hands upon him, and said, "My dear brother Saul, Lord sent me so that you could receive your sight and you can be filled with the Holy Spirit." And the scales fell from his eyes. And in that moment, he received his sight again. And he arose and was baptized. This event, great event, when one who had was penitent, he was blessed with the gospel. He received his sight. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He grew strong. He arose and he was baptized. And this man who had fought against the kingdom of God became a powerful weapon who did the work of the kingdom of God. When I read this portion, I was left thinking, have we in recent times sometimes been in the situation where Ananias was? In a situation where we have heard or seen or met people who for some reason have fought against the kingdom, the congregation of God. And it has made us timid and even fearful. What is our message this morning to such a person? We cannot get over our own timidness. But we call such people in who could happen, what happened to the prodigal son and Saul of Tarsus. They left the house of God with their own feet. They walked out themselves. For some reason, they had ended up in a situation where they fought against the congregation of God. Dear brothers and sisters, we can ask the Heavenly Father that we would receive the strength to approach such a person correctly, and that we would be given the understanding, and that we would all have a gracious mind. That we would not begin taking care of matters through the flesh. That in all situations, without asking, without conditions, the voice of the Good Shepherd could be heard, which is calling the prodigal son and people like Saul of Tarsus, calling them into the kingdom. What do we have to offer such people today? Would we have something so new and special that in a special way it would be enticing them? Nothing new, but something definitely very special, amazing and special, because we are able to offer unmeasurably great grace and forgiveness. It is offered to those who are searching for the kingdom of God and peace for their own conscience. The kingdom of God is now close to you. We preach about the kingdom of God. We preach repentance. Believe your unbelief and all your sins forgiven. In Jesus' name, and atonement blood. In Jesus' name and blood, all of your sins are forgiven. And we preach the gospel to be power for believers. Here is that power and strength that keeps this flock of sheep together. Here is that power that causes us to go to summer services again and again. This is that power. That allows us, just as we are and in the whatever position we are in life, feeling tired or feeling sinful, again and again, we can hear for ourselves this comforting gospel. Daughter and son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven unto you. In this moment, my dear brother and sister, believe all your sins and temptations and doubts forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood. dear brothers and sisters, believe all of your sins forgiven. And this teaches us to look beyond the boundary of time. It teaches us to loosen our heart from all of that which would be binding us or attaching us to this world. And on this journey, we need one another. During this, or before this turn to serve, I have discussed with many people. Some of these discussions have lasted only a short time. Some have been man-to-man discussions, simple discussions, text messages, a pat on the shoulder. After these meetings, I have experienced how brothers and sisters have carried me to this place. A certain meeting was left in my mind when a 7-year-old boy from a familiar family was playing here, and his father explained to this boy that Risto at 9 o'clock Saturday morning is to serve. This little boy looked and said, let's do so that you don't wake me up. And there was something touching in this attitude of this child and in this comment. This was that carelessness of a child of which we could all take an example. But then there have been some discussions which have lasted somewhat longer. And I have been able to feel secure in them. They have warmed me. And after a certain discussion, we said that the old people used to say that this was a discussion of the way and the journey, and we should have more of such discussions so that the hurries of this time and all the work and busyness that we have, that we would have time to stop around the most important questions of life. Dear brothers and sisters, I have come to this place tempted and sinful. I want to ask, can I believe my own sins forgiven? I want to believe in this way, and we can all remain believing. All of our last temptations and doubts and sins forgiven in Jesus' name and atonement blood. And you can place yourself in the portion of a little child. That little child which Jesus took into his lap and blessed. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to leave this day of services and each of us and all our dear ones and our whole life in your protecting hands. In Jesus' name, amen.